I love the story of Jacob and Rachel because it's one of the great love stories of the Bible. Jacob, to say that Jacob loved Rachel would be an understatement. I mean, he really loved her. I mean, really, 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 really loved her. I mean, this was no ordinary love. The Bible says that when he first laid eyes on Rachel, he lifted up his head and wept. That boy was smitten, y'all. He cried. That's how much he fell in love with her. That's some serious love. Not only did he lift up his head and weep, but he worked 7 years just to be able to marry her. Genesis 19, verse 20. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. 7 years of hard labor is no small feat. To many of us, it would be the most difficult thing we ever had to do. Back-breaking work in harsh conditions, working with livestock for 7 years. And to Jacob, it seemed like nothing. Why? Because of L-O-V-E, love. What might have been a big deal to you and me, to Jacob, was nothing. Was too great. So let me ask you today, what if we pursued God the way Jacob pursued Rachel? Think about it. What if we worked for God the way that Jacob worked for his bride-to-be? What if we love God with passionate love? Because after all, there's no greater love than God's love for us. In Jeremiah 31:3, God said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. There is no love like God's love. He loves you unconditionally. When you're at your very worst, he loves you still. For Jacob, 7 years of labor was nothing. And when you love God with all your heart, the work that you do for the kingdom of God, serving God, it's no big deal. Why? Because you love him that much. A lot of times we fall into the trap of thinking that we're so great because we're sacrificing so much for God. But Jacob was so in love with Rachel that he didn't care about the work and he didn't care about what he had to give up because no sacrifice compared to his love for her. Serving 7 years was only like a few days to Jacob. I would tell you this morning, the only way to be effective for God is to love him with that kind of passion. Love God with your whole heart. God wants full custody, not just weekend visits, y'all. Hello. And when we serve God, we ought to serve him out of our love for him, because if you do it out of guilt and obligation, it just doesn't work. When you're doing things out of ritual or routine, even a small thing will exhaust you. But when you do things out of passion and love, you have that fire that drives you where you don't even notice the work. We ought to show up to the house of God and not see it as a sacrifice that we showed up, but we see it as a joy because we love him so. When you really love God, it's a small thing to pray and to worship and to take time in devotion and read the Bible. When you love God, it's not the sacrifice that's a big deal. The big deal is how great God is and how good he's been in your life. Jacob wasn't thinking about the work. He was thinking about Rachel all the time. He was out there tending goats and mending fences, and Rachel would walk by, and he'd say, you doing? Hello, hello. He wasn't thinking about the work. He wasn't thinking about the labor. He was thinking about the reward. Some of you get your eyes on the work too much. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Keep your mind not on the work. Keep your mind focused on Jesus. Because when you love him, there's nothing you would sacrifice for him. That's how Jacob was. Something got a hold of Jacob when he saw Rachel. Cupid made a direct hit in Jacob's heart. He was walking around with stars in his eyes, and he heard birds singing all the time, and he had air supply on his iPod. Jacob had it bad. He's in love with Rachel. Rachel in the story represents the ultimate desire, the ultimate love. She represents true love. It's that relationship with God where you're passionate in your faith. Rachel represents your first love for Jesus Christ, your very best. But Leah, not so much. Let's talk about Leah. Leah is Rachel's older sister. Rachel was beautiful, but the Bible says that Leah was tender-eyed. Let me break it down for you. Poor Leah, that girl was ugly. I mean, U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi, you ugly girl. Leah was so ugly when she was born, the doctor slapped her mama. That's bad. Leah fell out of the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down. Leah was so ugly, they made up a virus just to get her to wear a mask all the time. Whew, y'all, Leah was rough. Everything Rachel is, Leah is not. Rachel is best. Leah is second best. And take it from a guy who buys a lot of off-brand stuff off the internet, sometimes there's a big difference between best and second best. Because sometimes you get what you pay for. And in the case of Leah and Rachel, there is no comparison. Rachel represents his true love, the very best of the best. Leah is religion, but Rachel is relationship. Leah is just living with someone, but Rachel is loving someone. Leah is survival, but Rachel is revival. Leah was the one who was forced onto Jacob, but Rachel is the one that he pursued. Leah was unwanted, undesired. She was just tolerated. So here's my question to you today. Where are you willing to settle with God? Are you willing to tolerate mediocrity? Or are you going to pursue the best of the best in your walk with the Lord? Will you settle for Leah, or will you push on to the prize? Laban told Jacob, "Jacob, name your wages." In other words, tell me what you want to be paid. Listen, your family, your marriage, your walk with God will ultimately be what you decide is going to be. Name your wages. What price are you willing to pay? You see, God's not going to automatically make everything fall into place. You have to decide for yourself the price you're willing to pay. You can settle for Leah, or you can have the best that God has for you. You can settle for second best, or you could choose the absolute best life for your family, for your marriage, and for your faith. Here's the problem, though, and this is, I see this all the time. The problem is we pretend Leah is Rachel. We pretend that Leah is Rachel. We settle for Leah. We settle for second best. We settle for mediocrity. We settle for just going through life, and we lie to ourselves and say, well, this is as good as it's going to get. We've settled for Leah when God's called us to better, and he's called us to more. If you love Rachel enough, you won't settle for life with Leah, y'all. Refuse to settle for less. The Bible says that the time came for Jacob and Rachel to be married, and Jacob's father-in-law Laban pulled a fast one. He did an old switcheroo. You see, in ancient Israel, weddings were held at night, and I can just imagine Jacob going to the wedding ceremony. This was the happiest moment of his life, the happiest day of his life. And the sun comes up, and Jacob says, Laban, what have you done to me? He looks over, expecting to see Rachel, the love of his life, and instead, what is that? You better put that mask back on. He woke up and realized that he had been cheated. He went into the afternoon expecting his greatest dream to come true, and he woke up to a nightmare the next day. I don't know about you, but I've been there at times in life where I've been expecting wonderful things, but then the sun comes up. Uh-oh. I didn't sign up for this. This wasn't what I was expecting. Why am I here? Maybe what you settled for now is not what you were originally in love with in life. On that morning, Jacob had to make a decision. Am I going to settle for Leah, or am I going to keep working for Rachel? Sometimes we have to make choices like that. Am I going to settle for where I am right now, or am I going to keep working for more? Rachel represented the future, but Leah represented the past. Jacob could have settled with his past. He could have said, well, you know, this isn't what I wanted. This isn't what I signed up for, but it's where I am. I've worked 7 years. I might as well just stick with what I've got. He could have chosen the past over the future. And so many people do that. Remember when I was working for, thank you. Can you hear me now? I remember when I was working for a grocery store when I was a teenager. Anybody ever been to Joiner's grocery store in Fremont? Okay, well, I worked for the other Joiner's, the original Joiner's in Nashville that's not even, doesn't even exist anymore. But I was working in the grocery store, and this old country fella came up to me. He looked like he's about 100 years old and felt like he needed to impart some wisdom. And he looked at me and he said, son, are you in high school? I said, yes, sir. You better enjoy it because it's the best time of your life. I'm telling you, my life was good in high school. When I was in high school, life was great, and that was the best time of my life. And I was thinking, my God, man, what have you been doing for the past 80 years? I'm not going to let my past be better than my future. Hello. But, you know, our memory will lie to us, won't it? Come on, your memory will lie to you. You think your old girlfriend used to look so good. And then you pass her at Walmart and think, sorry, sir, I didn't mean to bump into you there. Got 3 teeth and 8 kids and a New Kids on a Block t-shirt. But in your mind, she was so fine. Look at her now. Hello, Leah. Come on, don't live in the past. Let go of the past. I hear people say, well, church was so good 20 years ago. I mean, the Spirit was moving. I was just so on fire. And the church just ain't good like it used to be. Well, guess what? It's the same God now as it was then. It's the same Spirit of God today as it was 20 years ago, as it was on the day of Pentecost, as it was on the day of creation. God is not dead. He has not moved. He is alive, and he's here right now. And that same fire you had then, you can have today. But you have to make up your mind. Am I going to mourn the past, or am I going to work for the future? Tell somebody, in case they don't know, tell them you have a future. Right from the Word of God, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You can choose to settle with the Leahs of yesterday, or you can pursue the hope and the future that God has set before you. God has good plans for your life. So don't settle for less. Tell somebody, don't settle for less. Come on, if you're careful, you will settle, because we are settlers by nature. We love comfortable. We love the familiar. If you're not careful, you'll settle in your relationship with God. You'll settle in your marriage. You'll settle in your family. You settle with the life and the dreams that God called you to pursue. It's not God's will for us to settle for second best when he's got more for us. Let me tell you why it's easy to settle for Leah. Because Leah is cheaper than Rachel. Just tell you like it is, because Laban said to Jacob, if you want Rachel, it'll cost you 7 more years. You can work another 7 years, or you can settle where you are right now. And this is where a lot of people give up. You've been working, you've been investing in your marriage, you've been investing in your family, you've been working and serving God, and then you wake up after years of work and the sun rises and there's Leah staring at you with her crooked eyes and buck teeth. Saying, hey, sugar, how you doing? Put your mask on, woman. You work and work and work for good, and then you're not getting the results that you expected. This is where a lot of people give up and quit. It's too much. It's too much trouble to maintain a deep love with God. It's too much work to have a great marriage and a great family. Listen, it might cost you more, but Rachel is worth the price. You might have to work for it, yes, but God says don't settle for a cheap substitute when you can have the real thing. Laban said, Jacob, name your wages. You decide. Did you know that God doesn't decide what kind of marriage you have? You do. It's quiet in this Methodist church today. God doesn't decide what kind of relationship you have with him. You do. Bible says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. You've got to take the first step. You've got to make up your mind. I'm not going to be happy with crooked-eyed Leah when God has better for me. I'm not going to be happy with dead, dried-up religion, going through the motions, playing church on Sunday when my God is an all-consuming fire. You got to make up your mind. You want better than where you are right now. God told Israel, this day I call the heavens and earth as witnesses against you. I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. And then he spells it out. Now choose life. You decide. Name your wages. What are you willing to work for? God's got it, but you got to want it. Sometimes in life we're like a little boy playing with a bow and arrow and one day he would take out his bow and he would let the arrow fly, and wherever it would hit on the wall, he'd go draw a bullseye around it. Then he'd shoot another arrow and it'd go the other way and he'd go draw a bullseye around it. And he thought he was the best archer in the whole world. Well, church, that might sound childish to you and me, but we do the same thing in life. We just aim at anything, and wherever it lands, we draw a bullseye, and we lie to ourselves and tell us that even though it's Leah, well, that must be Rachel, because that's where the arrow landed. If you don't have a target, you'll call anything a bullseye. But I'm challenging you this morning to have a vision, have a dream, have a plan for your future, because God has called you to bigger and better than where you are today. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. God has good things for you, but you got to want it. You got to have enough tenacity to pursue it, to chase after what God has for you. Don't settle for second best. If you've ever been on fire for God, if you've ever had a passionate love for God, and you've fallen into religion, and you've fallen into going through the motions and playing church, you know that you'll never be happy living with Leah once you've loved Rachel. You'll never be satisfied with second best when you've tasted and seen of the goodness of God. A lot of people are pretenders, but God is looking for contenders. Jacob contended for Rachel. He worked for Rachel. He fought for Rachel. Jacob could have quit many, many times. He could have given up, but he refused to quit as long as Rachel was before his eyes. It's time for you to get a fresh vision of what your marriage could be, of what your family could be, of what your career could be, of what God's giftings and purposes in your life could become. It's time that you have a target and have a goal and press on to the mark before you. It's time for people to contend for their faith, to fight for their relationship with God, to fight for peace in your home, to fight for that dream God put in your heart. It's time to stop pretending that Leah is good enough when God is more than enough. I'm closing as the worship team comes. I want to look at the book of Revelation at a warning that Jesus gives to the church. He addressed this to a church of pretenders, people who were going through the motions. He says, I know your works, and you've done many good things. You've stood for what's right. You've worked hard. You've endured many things for my name's sake. But this one thing I have against you, you've lost your first love. You see, God wants a passionate relationship with you. Second best will never be good enough for God. We settle for second best all the time, but God will not. Jesus said, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. In other words, a mediocre relationship, mediocre worship, mediocre praise, mediocre prayer actually makes God sick. He says, I refuse to settle for second best in our relationship. Why? Because God loves us passionately, and he wants us to be passionate in our love for him in return. Maybe you're here today and you know that you need to get back to your first love. You say, well, how would I do that? Let me give you two things. This is what Jesus said. One, remember the love you once had for God. He said in Revelation 2:5, remember therefore from where you have fallen. Some of you have been living with Leah so long you forgot what Rachel looks like. You've become so comfortable with the status quo that you don't even remember what it felt like to be on fire for God, to feel his presence and his power in your life. Jesus said, remember where you've fallen from. Remember what it was like to be in love with Jesus before he blessed you, before you even learned or knew anything, when you were just happy to be rescued. Remember that time in your life. And number two, Jesus says, do the things you used to do. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, repent and do the first work. You used to get up early and pray. You used to read the Bible with an open heart. Now it's just a checklist. You used to pray in the Holy Spirit and get alone with God and worship. Jacob found himself with Leah, and the past couldn't save him. The 7 years he had already worked meant nothing at this point. Church, yesterday's worship can't help you today. Yesterday's revival can't help you today. Okay, the past was the past, but you've got more work ahead of you. Press on to greater things. You can start today. Today can be your day of revival. Today can be your new beginning with God. Today can be the day that you get your fire and your passion and your love for God back. Ask the Holy Spirit to ignite that fire in your heart again and do everything you can to fuel that fire in the name of Jesus. Will you stand with me this morning as we pray? God, I thank you, Lord, that you haven't designed us for second best. Lord, I thank you, God, that you have a great future ahead of us. God, I thank you, Lord, that your plans for us, your desires for us, God, are beyond anything we could even imagine or think. Lord, that you have prepared great things for us. And Lord, I pray right now that you would challenge us, stir up our faith. God, put a fight in our spirit. Lord, that we wouldn't be satisfied with mediocrity, but we would work and press forward in Jesus' name. God, I pray for those who are struggling in their walk with you today. God, I pray, Lord, that they would get their first love back this morning. God, that they would remember where they used to be and do the things they used to do. God, that they would rekindle that fire, the fire that you put in their heart even many years ago. God, that you would stir them up this morning. Lord, we know, God, that difficult things are easy when we're in love, but even the easy things are a burden when we've lost our love. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would restore their first love this morning. God, that you would fill them with faith to believe you, God, for a better tomorrow. God, I thank you that the latter will be greater than the former. God, that you will pour out your spirit on all flesh in these last days. God, I thank you, Lord, that we haven't missed the mark of revival. God, we haven't missed the great outpouring. We haven't seen anything yet. God, I thank you what you're preparing to do, God, in this church, in this nation, on the body of Christ is unlike unlike anything the world has ever seen before. And Lord, we say, pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit on all flesh. Pour out your power, oh God. We need you. Lord, we're hungry. We're thirsty. We want more of you. God, pour out your presence even in this place today. Holy Spirit, fall. Stir us up, oh God. Stir us up. Lord, stir us up. May we feel the urgency. May we understand that we're living in the last days, that these are the final moments of history, and we need the power of your Holy Spirit more than ever before. God, bring us back to our first love. Bring us back to that place of passionate pursuit. God, where we were willing to lay down anything that would keep us from you, that we would be willing to walk away from anything that would not be pleasing to you, God. Lord, restore the joy of our salvation. Restore that passion. Restore that fire. And Lord, if there's somebody listening right now who's never experienced your love, God, may they feel your love today. God, I pray that you would surround them with your love right now. Lord, I thank you that it's your goodness that leads to repentance. God, touch them with your presence. God, touch them with your love. God, may they know that you know who they are. You know them by name. They are not forgotten. They are not alone. They have a God in heaven who loves them. The Bible says that God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were at our worst, God gave his best. That's the love of God. That's the love of God for you. That's the love of God for fallen, broken humanity. When we didn't deserve anything, God gave everything. Somebody, this is your appointed time. This is your day of salvation. This is the day that you experience the love and the life that comes from God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the only way. But he also said this, he will never turn away anybody who comes to him. If you want to experience the love and the life that comes from Jesus, trust your life to him today. Put your life in his hands this morning. Will you join me in praying this prayer of surrender? Let's pray this together. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. And Jesus, with your help, I'll live for you. I'll follow you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Can we celebrate new life this morning? Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's lift up our voices in worship. Oh, God, we thank you. Will you lift your hands for a moment? I want us to just linger for just a few minutes. God wants to pour out his spirit on somebody this morning. God wants to baptize somebody in the Holy Spirit today. God wants to pour out a new anointing on somebody. Will you just lift up your hands to heaven and cry out for more? We're going to worship and my wife's going to be praying over you, but I don't know about you. I'm hungry for more. I preached myself hungry this morning. I want more. I'm not going to settle for Leah when Rachel's ahead. I'm not going to settle for religion when a relationship is what God wants. I'm not going to live with survival when God's called me to walk into revival. Come on, lift up your hands and cry out for more.
We just thank you for more, Father. Lord, I thank you, Father, that we are not going to settle for Leah, Father.